I think when I get them this way, they're 10 bucks. What are they from?
God, I don't know. I'm taking so much. I always give them 20 bucks and put the change in my pocket. I don't even know what it is.
I always buy
a book of them.
A book? Oh, yeah. 10 pass. This is 10 passes. So I'm trying to remember. I think it was $18. It's $2.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it might be $11.
It's they're not cheap.
Yeah.
But you know, you're saving parking and you're saving.
Oh, there's no. If I could have, I'm going to go hook up with my son this afternoon. Otherwise, I'd have taken. Well, what do? Do you take the muni out?
Yeah. On the way back, like today, I wanted to, you know, with our agenda, this should be stuck.
To get your.
Because I'm not going to stay here.
What muni? What line do you take? Which bus?
I take the 38L. I walk up about a half mile. It takes me
straight
up to O'Farrell.
So you get off at O'Farrell and then ask. Yeah, exactly.
But it's
good. Yeah, I love taking it. I'd like to tomorrow. I come back down to ECDC. Oh, that's right.
John and I rode back on that together.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
That's just too sweet.
I know, but I'm looking at the group of neighbors wanting to show me where to go. I'm doing water.
Yeah, exactly. Different kind. I'm thinking. There's nothing on here. Zilch.
Okay. Don't you dare apologize.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not worried about
it. See.
I can always get it here. Thank you.
Good morning, Vanessa. Terrific.
She must be going to go to the Bayshore cleanup. Because the Bayshore is having a cleanup day. Not this Saturday, next Saturday, the 15th of March.
Well,
oh, really?
Is there a problem today with it?
Huh?
Dude,
oh, really?
It looked
committee,
quite sparse.
Committee report.
It might be the Bayshore. They're having that big cleanup in the Bayshore, but it's sponsored by the
Bayshore. Are you still available this afternoon?
City Recreation. That's the one Marion Brown is part of.
Just
turning into
my previous.
Oh, yeah,
so
sure.
Have a good
I'll just hook up with you somewhere.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Let's read this one time.
All right, you're right up there on the top of the ferry building, right? What's the name of it again?
We had this thing.
Spell that.
That's right. And to paint the graffiti
okay.
off, too.
Broadcast
right.
television. It's the mayor and one of the council members.
Okay.
Just John around.
Right.
Good day, sir.
These guys are swearing.
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody
I probably pass it going to the judge. I'll give you a call and let you know what I'm up to. Yeah, I got all afternoon, so I'm ready to go. I might.
Okay.
We never know, you know, until. But it's going to start here in about 5 minutes, and then we'll take it from there and see what's going on.
And how are you today? How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Driving. Sounds good.
Oh.
All right, my way.
Tim?
Yes, sir.
If we're in your way, we can clear out.
Would you come 101?
Good, that'd be good.
We can.
No. I mean, no, Brad, you can stay. How would you?
You asked. You set that up.
I drive in, but.
Tim always liked me best.
I'm in the middle of a conversation with one of my aides in my office.
I'd have to transfer to her.
And her cell phone rings, and she takes us to her stop.
I come to town.
There you go. Wait.
Am I the rock? What am I? Part of the. That's when you're a piece of the furniture.
You know? Really? Really?
I'm the boss.
She goes, well, no, but this is personal.
Well,
I said, well, excuse me.
This is personal.
So it takes me even coming through town.
That's almost as good as one time the two of them were in my office and they were talking to each other. They said, well, maybe we better tell him about this one.
Yeah, right.
Just traffic really slow.
I go, excuse me.
What are those that you don't?
Yeah.
That's one of those you say, maybe you don't.
And that is even around San Francisco State. It's and you get to
I live so long
down
the water. Yeah.
Some days, really. Today, every stop.
I would have to
Monday,
do some. I might have to do some.
I made it down there in 20 minutes on Monday.
Yeah, really.
Keep an eye on me, will you?
There you go, there, Jerry.
Goes right to the source.
Michael,
Sergeant at Arms. You're the official sergeant of Arms.
Thank you.
We could start a pool on who it likes to be.
Who likes to be the...
I guess
We could actually get started in a minute or two and then do the public comment. We've got a...
Yes.
I think you have, don't you have to have a form to convene?
Hey, Jack?
Oh, I Jack? Will. Sweet. Sweet.
Yeah. Very dirty old man.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That was quick. Bay Area Environmental Corporation.
Yeah.
First, and then I'll do Linda Weiner. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Very cute.
Yeah,
I'll put those in my car.
Okay, Vanessa's ready. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to the Bay Area Air Quality Management District Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, March 5th. At this point, we're one short of a quorum, but we're going to start the meeting since we're not going to be taking any action for a while, and we do have a number of board members who are expected shortly. So we have called the meeting to order, and if we could have roll call, please, Vanessa.
On the roll for the Board of Directors meeting of Wednesday, March the 5th, 2008, Director Bates, Director Brown,
here.
Director Daly, Director Dunnigan, Director Garner, Director Joya, Director Haggerty, Director Kishimoto, Director Klatt,
here.
Director Niss, Director Lockhart, Director McGolrich, Director Miley, Director Ross,
here.
Director Szymanski,
here.
Director Silva,
here.
Director Smith,
here.
Director Torliat,
here.
Director Okama, Director Wagenknecht,
here.
Director Yeager,
here.
And Chairperson Jerry Hill.
Here, thank you, and please note that Director Daly is here also, so we do have a quorum. If you'd all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
Thank you. Our next item of business is proclamations and commendations, and I see we don't have any this morning, which is sometimes a sad thing and sometimes a good thing. So we'll move right into public comment. This is an opportunity for anyone in the audience to speak to an item that's not on our agenda today. We do have a number of speakers with us, and each speaker is allotted 3 minutes of time, so I will call the first speaker, and their lights will indicate when your time is getting short, and when the red light comes on, I would appreciate it, and the board would if you would wrap up and conclude your comments. Our first speaker is Linda Weiner, Bay Area Clean Air Task Force. Linda, good morning.
Good morning to the board. My name is Linda Weiner, and I represent the Bay Area Clean Air Task Force as a member of the Bay Area Environmental Health Collaborative. The goal of the task force is comprised of public health and environmental organizations, as well as community-based environmental justice organizations, working to advocate for health protective standards for air quality policy in the Bay Area. And as you know, are aware, the collaborative representing many Bay Area coalitions is concerned about hoping to decrease multiple sources of pollution in low-income communities and communities of color. Before I proceed in what we would like from the board, I would like to say we're pleased that the Air District Management has begun a dialogue with representatives of the collaborative about how we can achieve our goals to reduce pollution and multiple sources of pollution. We appreciate the work that the Air District has begun at the Port of Oakland affecting West Oakland, but we feel more needs to be done in West Oakland and other areas of high pollution, San Leandro, Richmond, Southeast San Francisco, East Palo Alto. We also genuinely appreciate that the Air District has now, as of yesterday with the CARE program, prioritized six areas for grants and incentives through the CARE program. However, we would like to ask that in addition to these strategies, we urge the board to support actions to address cumulative pollution issues in the Bay Area communities beyond grants and incentives. I can say as an employee of the American Lung Association, I can attest to the fact that our offices do indeed receive calls from community residents who suffer from asthma and other lung diseases that are exacerbated by high degrees of air pollution. We hope that by working together, we can determine specific mechanisms where we can limit additional pollution. So a few suggestions. One such possibility would be a cap, a limit on permits in overburdened polluted areas. Another possibility would be to target indirect magnet sources such as distribution centers and rail yards. And we also ask for greater community participation through proper translation of proposed regulations. Today, we are submitting to the board a policy to consider adoption at a near future meeting of a cumulative impact policy statement recognizing the problem of cumulative pollution exposures and disproportionate impact with a commitment to take action. When you live in communities with multiple sources of pollution from industries, refineries, power plants, et cetera, you are the canaries in the cage because whatever pollution affects those communities affects all of us in the long run. And we ask you to consider in the near future a policy taking into account cumulative impact pollution because risks are determined only by one particular policy and cumulative impact takes into account all of the multiple sources of pollution in one community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Our next speaker, Bradley Angel. Good morning again, Brad.
Good morning. My name is Bradley Angel, and I'm with Green Action for Health and Environmental Justice, and also here on behalf of the Environmental Justice Air Quality Coalition and the Bay Area Environmental Health Collaborative. And you may all be wondering why a number of folks are here today. The reason is that the discussions with the Air District and the progress that we hope is being made towards environmental justice, better protection of public health and air quality, and addressing the issue of cumulative impacts is at a crossroads. And we really need the board to step in and make sure it takes the right direction because there's been some very, very, very troubling developments since we were last here, and that's why we're back. Since we were here last time, the Air District has, in writing, rejected having a public hearing for more power plants next to Bayview Hunters Point. Now, if in 2008, if we have to explain to the Air District that Bayview Hunters Point is already overburdened with pollution, that the community fought so hard and finally successfully to take down the PG&E plant, and yet the Air District thinks that it can have a permit issued by themselves, that they can issue a permit with no public hearing, something is woefully wrong, and it's a violation of environmental justice. And it's going to derail all our collaborative works. You'll hear from Healthy San Leandro. In San Leandro, we've been waiting for over 3 months for the Air District to give their promised response to a questionable notice that was sent out about an accelerated permit for a polluter in that community. In Berkeley, the Air District continues to stand up at the public Pacific Steel meetings and talk about we know what the risk is when they continue to ignore cumulative risk. You can't assess the risk unless you assess reality. The last thing I want to mention, and this is very important, if I could just have a minute on this, in Richmond, the Air District is planning on issuing permits for what many believe would be a major expansion and increase in pollution at the Chevron refinery. You all know about that facility. You know the pollution problems. The Air District has rejected having a public hearing. And you may have heard that at a public meeting, not a hearing a couple of weeks ago, it actually got very contentious. And I think we'd all agree it was very troubling. But members of the community, our organization, others, we had to step in and challenge the fact that the Air District is planning on issuing permits without assessing cumulative risk, publicly stating, oh, if we issue the permit, if there's an increase, it'll be insignificant. Well, if the Air District hasn't figured out that at this point any increase in Richmond in pollution is not insignificant, we've got a really big problem. So we want to pledge that we're going to work peacefully and nonviolently, but if the Air District thinks that people are going to sit back quietly As the Air District issues permits for increased pollution in overburdened communities, we have a real problem on our hands, and we're here today to plead with you to intervene and set the record straight. Thank you.
Thank you, Bradley. Our next speaker, Karen Cohen, followed by Gordon Marr. Good morning, Ms. Cohen.
Good morning, board members. My name is Karen Cohen. I'm here today for the same collaborative, BAYAC, on behalf of a regional asthma management and prevention initiative called RAMP. You may know that the research done in the last decade has followed large groups of children and youth in California and now has definitively shown that there's a causative relation between air pollution and asthma, new asthma, and not just what we have known in the past, which is, of course, air pollution makes asthma worse. Now we know that children's lungs don't develop as well, and there's a permanent setback to what their lung capacity is when they live in air-polluted communities. The results that we see from uncontrolled asthma, the ones that we can easily measure in our Bay Area, are hospitalizations. And I'm going to give you some data from 2005. Alameda County residents experienced 2,343 hospitalizations, and the charges, the actual charges, were $52.6 million. Same year, Contra Costa residents experienced 1,090 hospitalizations for asthma. They estimate $24,000 per stay. That was $26 million spent on what should have been a controllable condition. San Francisco residents that year had 1,495 hospitalizations for asthma. $36 million was spent on estimate. So now, in this single year, three counties, I've told you about 4,928 hospitalization stays that cost over $114 million. And the question would be, who pays that? The statewide data shows that 72% of those charges are covered by Medicare and Medi-Cal. 20% are covered by private insurance. So that tells you right away which populations are suffering. That leaves 8% unpaid for. The county safety net has to pick it up. Those are primarily uninsured patients. That would be $9 million total for three counties in 1 year. There is no subsidy provided by any air polluters. It's simply hard to fathom how we could accept that as the status quo, a preventable hospitalization. And air quality is definitely a contributor to that. So within our collaborative, we've identified the Air District as the key agency that controls air quality policy and practices that can affect these health outcomes. We're looking for the Air Quality District to assert leadership, to initiate collaboration and innovation. The CARE steps that were taken yesterday sound great. I know there are other strategies, and what we'd like to do is see those strategies turned into an action plan that has a strict and ambitious timeline. We feel a lot of time since CARE Project has begun was focused on gathering data to define hotspots, but the communities there already know quite a bit about that. We need more effort spent on changing those conditions. As far as the Green Ports Initiative, that's a fantastic step, so we want that to be extended to other magnet sources of diesel pollution. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cohen. Gordon Marr, followed by Francisco Da Costa. Good morning, Mr. Marr.
Good morning, board members. My name is Gordon Marr. I'm here representing Immigrant Power for Environmental Health and Justice, which is a coalition that's organizing and empowering immigrant residents in the Bay Area to address environmental health issues. And I'm here this morning with my colleagues from impacted communities throughout the Bay to also urge the board to take action to address the serious problem of cumulative impacts that are disproportionately impacting low-income and people of color communities throughout the Bay. I particularly wanted to talk about the need for clearer and stronger public participation protocol for the district, because that's been a source of severe frustration among community residents in the lack of clear and stronger public participation policies for the district in the permitting processes. And I think this is particularly true when you talk about immigrant and foreign-born communities, which are sizable in all counties in the Bay Area. And the district right now has no clear policy around language access and translation of public notices and other permitting materials, as well as interpretation at hearings or community meetings. And the only time that residents are able to, non-English speaking residents are able to access information about permits in their communities is when they have to push and demand that the Air District actually translate the materials and the notices. So so the Bay Area Environmental Health Collaborative is urging and trying to work with the staff of the Air District to create clearer and stronger public participation and language access policies. And we do have a at the meeting that we had recently with Jack Broadbent and his staff, there was a commitment from the staff to work with the community to develop clearer and stronger public participation protocols. So that's something that we're going to be following up with, and we want to make sure the board knows about that and is supportive of the development of this important process. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Francisco Da Costa, followed by Wafaa Abu-Rashid. I hope that's close. Thank you.
Board of Directors, my name is Francisco Da Costa. I'm the Director of Environmental Justice Advocacy, but I also represent the first people of this area, the Mwakma Ohlone. So basically, directors, any way you look at it, we need to be sensitive to what is happening in our area regarding the air. And we cannot escape that. So we have cliches over the years. I've been doing environmental work for over 45 years all over the world. And from time to time, we have cliches. The recent cliche is the carbon footprint. And so how are we going to address this here in San Francisco when we have over 450 toxic hotspots in the Southeast sector? And as you have heard, that this, the board of directors and this organization really does not care about particulates and pathogens and wants to give a permit to have some combustion turbines in our area where so many people are dying. And you've heard it. I mean, the speakers before me have given you the empirical data. You see it, but y'all cannot discern. So now let's go to the next footprint, the radiological footprint that we have in the Bayview. Who's addressing that? How are you going to address it? Does that affect cumulative pollution? Does that kill our children and our elders? And if it does, what are we going to do about it? See, we have regulatory agencies, but the regulatory agencies must do something. But again and again, y'all force innocent laymen and women to come over here and plead and plead and plead. We give you all the empirical data. We give you all the facts. But you seem not to care. So, really speaking, board of directors, it's about the moral compass. It's about what your grandparents, what your teachers, what some leaders in your life taught you to do. It boils down to that. And I know some of you, and I watch you, and y'all do the right thing. And I know others, when I go before certain boards, I look them straight in the eye, and they look at me straight in the eye and lie. And that's not right. In San Francisco, we embrace everybody. But I'm here always to fight for our children. Because I feel, if you're an adult, and you really don't care for our children, then really, it's useless sitting on any board, being part of any policy making.
Mr. Da Costa, your time is up. If you'd wrap up in the next sentence, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. And I did not have an opportunity to wish you good morning. Good morning, Mr. Da Costa.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Abu-Rashid, followed by Amy, I think it's Cohen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's nice to see you again. My name is Wafaa Abu-Rashid, and I am the director of Healthy San Leandro Environmental Collaborative. I'm also a member of the BAYAC, which my predecessors have spoken about. I'd like to echo exactly what Linda Weiner said. We need you to focus on all the criteria that she put before you. I want to bring you a little closer to where I live. And I've described this to you, Mr. Hill, before. San Leandro is living on the east side, we have the freeway. On the west side, we have Oakland Airport. On the south side, we have railroads. And above us, we have the airlines landing down. And also, we have a lot of chemical plants in the immediate area. One of those chemical plants is Alcometal. Alcometal, it may have been insignificant to some people, the district, for example. They gave them an accelerated permit, no public comment. And our community did not know what was being emitted into the air. Accelerated permits are something that I think you ought to look at again and not allow to happen without the public being involved in it. We've yet to get the results as to what are they going to do. This impacts our community. The board needs to recognize that some residents may be particularly vulnerable to adverse effects of exposures to harm air pollution due to certain social, economic, or cultural factors. The board needs to acknowledge that cumulative impact of air pollution in the Bay Area community represent a significant problem and pose a threat to the public health, especially for those residents live in a highly impacted area like my community. We're on the fence line. We need to make sure that particularly we look at the vulnerable and adverse effects. We ask the board to consider adopting a resolution acknowledging the problem of cumulative pollution disparities and commit to taking action to address these issues. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Amy Cohen, please, followed by Andy Katz.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Amy Cohen. I'm the director of the Bay Area Environmental Health Collaborative. I was supposed to speak first to introduce our collaborative, but such is the joy of public transit. So, we're here
was
today.
Was it Muni you were writing?
Yes. How'd you guess? So we're here today to present some of our goals that we are hoping to work with the district to achieve. We've talked with some of you individually already about our interest in real enforceable measures to address cumulative pollution impacts. Last year we were here to introduce ourselves, and since then we introduced this report, Still Toxic After All These Years. We presented it to the executive committee and also to the CARE task force, to the advisory council, and to technical staff. This report documents what many residents, including some in this room, have known for years, that people of color, and particularly poor people of color and immigrants, live in the highest risk areas from air pollution and also closest to the highest risk facilities. These findings, and also the findings in the CARE program, support the need for strong enforceable measures to address cumulative pollution. A number of us have participated in the CARE program, and we are thrilled that the district is moving forward with a mitigation action plan. But we're also concerned about the focus on mere incentives and voluntary measures. These measures, especially the measures to reduce diesel pollution, are an excellent first step, but we believe that more measures are going to be needed to address localized hotspots. And we urge the district to work with us and work with staff and work with the board to look to developing measures to actually address the clusters of pollution sources, not just pollution impacts from mobile source pollution, which is very significant, obviously a significant risk in the region, but also to look at the localized impacts in certain areas that come from large stationary sources, clusters of common small toxic sources, and magnet sources like the port. We think what's happening with the Green Ports Initiative is an excellent step, and we hope that the district will use its authority to regulate other magnet sources in this way. And finally, we really just would like you to consider adopting this resolution that I believe has been circulated or will be distributed to you.
Yes, we do have it.
Okay. And again, this is we ask this as part of your commitment to environmental justice. Environmental justice is in the district's mission, and we believe that this would go a far way to begin achieving environmental justice. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cohen. Andy Katz, followed by Christopher Muhammad.
Hi, good evening, board members. I'm Andy Katz from Breathe California with the Bay Area Environmental Health Collaborative. You've heard from communities today, people who have come to you frustrated with the current permit process, the current state of air quality in the communities that they're living in. They're communities that are serious hotspots that are posing major public health dangers, that 6 times the cancer risk in West Oakland, similar effects in eastern San Francisco, San Jose, Concord, Richmond. They're communities that are suffering the brunt of all of the pollution in the Bay Area. And what the Bay Area Environmental Health Collaborative is coming to you to address is to see if we can find a way to deal with the cumulative pollution that is not reflected in current policies. Right now, new sources are evaluated whether that source contributes 10 in a million cancer risk or 100 in a million cancer risk. And that's killing us slowly, and that's the problem. We need to look at pollution cumulatively. We need to look at all of the pollution in the air and identify new sources taking cumulative pollution into account. In some ways, the CARE program is starting to do that. It's a research program. It's using the grant funding available to strategically focus grants. We're really excited about that. We're really excited about the Green Ports Initiative if it's enforceable. We need an enforceable Green Ports Initiative that will actually result in pollution reduction, not just something that looks good on paper. We really need it to reduce pollution. We need to find ways to integrate cumulative pollution into the permitting process. So these are serious public health risks that are out there, and communities are suffering the impacts. We've put a resolution out to you to ask the board to take leadership. We need some leadership from the board to show that cumulative impacts matter. They matter to the communities because they're suffering from asthma, they're suffering from cancer. And we need the board to take some leadership. We've also put a very detailed policy in front of the staff, and we're going to continue working with the staff on addressing our proposal and how to alleviate these health needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Katz. Mr. Mohammed, followed by Bobby Washington. Christopher Mohammed?
Well,
good morning,
members. We're back. Once again, we try to come back once a month or so just to check back, well, once every couple of months or so, just to check back with you to get updated since the community seems to be in the dark. Just a brief refresher, Lennar Corporation, a rogue company that has nationwide tentacles, poisons communities all over the country, has come into San Francisco and violated their mitigation agreements that you all established for them, and from day one broke those agreements, and you violated them for over 380 some days. And the first violation took place close to 3 years ago in 05. We're now in 08, and for some strange reason, which I haven't been able to figure out for the life of me, Lennar has not been fined $1. They've not been shut down one day, and the beat goes on, and now the city is trying to give them more land to poison more communities. The gentleman before me spoke about cumulative impacts, and it appears as if we've turned a blind eye to a poor community. And you've literally, I was reading an article in the Chronicle the other day about the Burmese python and the pike fish that was introduced into the river up in Sacramento, and how there's no natural predators for these fish, so they're such voracious eaters that they're destroying the ecosystem in that river. Well, you've turned over a company that's a voracious eater of communities into the Bayview Hunters Point community with no checks, no balances, no regulatory oversight, nobody saying stop, cease, and desist, yet this company has been given a green light. I don't know if the ugly head of politics and schmoozing and backroom channels has gone on here. I'm thinking that this Bay Area Air Quality Management District is an independent body that takes its enforcement powers serious, but for some reason, this issue has been buried in your legal department, which appears to be some kind of purgatory of some kind. Mr. Wee,
refuses to even return our calls anymore. He hasn't been out to the Bayview community to update the community, even though he gave me his word he would do this. We've not heard from staff. We've not heard from Mr. Broadbent. We've not heard from you all. Why don't you tell us straight? Are you going to do anything about Lennar, or are you going to give them a political pass? I think the community has a right. We've been patient enough. We first came to you in October. It is now March. I think 6 months is a good enough amount of time to determine what this board is going to do. Either do what you said you're going to do, or tell the poor people of Bayview Hunters Point you don't give a damn. And
thank
I think
you,
we
Mr.
can
Thomas.
Accept that.
Thank you. Bobby Washington, followed by Leotis Martin.
Good morning,
Ms. Washington.
My name is Bobby Washington. I'm a resident of Bayview Hunters Point and also on the Mothers Committee. And I'm here to speak about the CTs that were assigned to Bayview Hunters Point. And we weren't notified so that we could be brought on board to know what's going on. I think that our community, as a resident who lives there, breathes the air, you know, we should be knowing what is going on, and we should be brought on board to know who you assign there so we can be there. So we're the ones who breathe the air, live there, been there for years. So I feel like we should have a part in saying who is to represent us. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Washington. Leotis Martin and Marif Harrison will be the next speaker. Mr. Martin, good morning.
Good morning. One nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. We just did the Pledge of Allegiance, right? Liberty and justice for all, that means that we all have to be accountable. You know, we all have to be, you know, liberty. Liberty, what does liberty mean if we're not able to come in and sit in these meetings because y'all have a closed meeting? That's not justice for all either. You know, and then, you know, I live in Bayview Hunters Point on top of the hill. You know, I look at the people that's around me. I'm 47 years old. People that I grew up with, they have, you know, asthma and stuff like that, but they wasn't born with this. You know, when we was growing up, they were playing basketball, baseball, and stuff like that. Now some of them are almost 50 years old walking, you know, with these respirators and things to breathe with. I'm 47 years old. Right now I'm in good health. By the time I make 50, I might be walking with one. Life is short for us up there, for some reason or another. And what all we trying to do is get down to the bottom of it. You know, as far as, I have my mom passed away of cancer. My brother passed away of, enlarged heart. And that was my twin brother. You know, but he never had an enlarged heart. I have a brother right now on some nitro for his heart. Man, now, what about me? What about my son that's 10 years old? You know what I'm saying? If you really look at the big picture, there's something going on. You know, and all I'm saying is, like the other gentleman said, if y'all gonna, you know, let Lennar do what they're gonna do, just tell us. And we don't have to debate or argue about it no more. But you're the commissioners. Take a good look. And remember, you know, liberty and justice for all. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Marie Harrison, followed by Rudy Batarsi.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning, Ms. Harrison.
Actually, I'm going to waylay what I was going to say and simply ask a few questions. Because I think that repeating what everyone has said to you is obviously either not connecting, falling on deaf ears, or we're talking to the wind. So I'm going to try to talk to you. So I have a couple questions for you. I'd like to have them answered. And any one of you want to chime in and give me some answers, that's going to be fine. Why was Bayview Hunters Point left out of the decision to site the CTs in our community? Anything within walking distance. I know that you say across the street is actually Petrel Hill, but anything within walking distance of Bayview Hunters Point is actually Bayview Hunters Point. Those CTs are going to be sited. They're going to be placed within walking distance of Bayview Hunters Point. We need to know why, and why we were not involved in that decision, and why, if we had a decision to make on that, why our decision didn't count or didn't weigh in as heavily as everybody else's. That's one. Two, I am past irritated over this whole situation with Lennar. And I tell you this honestly, past irritated. I understand that you guys had a meeting with some of my colleagues and it got rather contentious. We're talking about lives here. We're not talking about my life so much because I'm the anomaly. We're talking about our children's lives. And at that, I want to tell you that I have a very vested interest in seeing that our children are taken care of. And that's your jobs. You know, I don't know if you took an oath when you got sworn in, but I do know that you're supposed to represent me and mine. I want to let you know that you're not doing your jobs. Had the power, you wouldn't be doing the jobs because we're talking about lives here. You guys have got to step up to the plate and you've got to become bold and you've got to become rather arrogant about what you're supposed to be doing because it's your job. It's your reputations and it's the reputations and the lives of the people for whom you speak for that's on the line. I'm simply asking you to take that seriously and to act. Jake, can you listen to me, please? Because see, you represent San Francisco.
I can do both.
Okay, but I need you here because you represent me.
All right, Murray,
okay.
Would you please address?
Don't want to be contentious with you. I just want to let you know that you represent me.
I'm trying to tell this lady what your problem is, Murray.
Good. Okay. Then I'll sit down and let you do that as long as you tell her because
Murray,
it's important.
You address the comments to the chair, please. Okay. Thank you.
So, now, getting back to the point.
All right.
I'm still waiting to hear. When are we going to have a community meeting? When is somebody going to come to us and let us speak and let us have a decision and let us make a decision that requires all of our attention because it's about our lives? And I get upset because, like I said, I have a vested interest. I have children that are growing up in Bayview Hunters Point that are suffering to this very day. I have friends and neighbors who are suffering to this very day. We have a baby now who is suffering to this very day. You guys, I'm just simply asking you to talk to us. If you don't have the information, talk to us. You know what the one thing that you have done well is you allowed us the opportunity to learn what is being what's done to us, how we can prevent it, and how we have to stay on you guys to make you do your jobs. Thank you.
Ms. Aronson, thank you very much. Rudy Batarsi, our next speaker, followed by, I think it's Benita Logan or Hogan. I think Logan. Good morning, Mr. Batarsi.
Good morning. My name is Rudy Batarsi, and I represent Lloyd Weiss Automobiles in Oakland, California. My grandfather was a dealer in 1929 with Henry Ford. And so I'm a third-generation car dealer. And my grandpa died about 10 years ago, and he told me to keep an eye on this electric vehicles in order to reduce pollution for the future. My father is Anthony Batarsi. He's the president for the Port of Oakland. And we're trying to, you know, come up with solutions to reduce pollution. And we think that electric vehicles or alternative fuels is one of the ways. I also live in West Oakland, so I'm also a little bit involved with that situation there with the diesel situation. We're one of the first dealers to have a federally and state approved vehicle, which is the neighborhood electric vehicle, which is called the Miles Electric vehicle and truck. And so we're trying to promote to work with the cities to start educating the public to educate the people to move into the electric vehicle in order to reduce pollution. Also, we're working with Sacramento and the Yolo Solano County, Vacaville infrastructure. For charging vehicles, charging stations, and solar paneling. And next year we're going to have a high-speed electric vehicle that will do 80 to 85 miles an hour, so it'll be able to go on the freeway. So I'd like to just introduce myself, and I want to work with the district and other companies. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Batarsi, and I think you'll find agreement on this board for an electric vehicle. Sounds like a wonderful idea. It's just hopefully we'll see one that works for a long distance very soon. So thank you. Vanetta, is it Logan?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Thank you. And then I have two of, there it is. have two cards for you. Vanessa, it's Vanessa. The second one is Vanessa, and we have Vanetta. Is there two?
Vanita.
I'm sorry. And you're Vanita.
I'm Vanita.
Very good. And then Vanessa will be following you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi. Good morning. I'm representing Hunter's View, and I'm against all toxic work done in the Bayview and anywhere else in the city because toxic chemicals are affecting our families. And I'm against the combustion turbines in our community without our knowledge. And I just wanted to ask, why is there a security guard here?
Why is what? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Why is there a security guard here?
Well, he's here most of the time, if not all the time, and most of our councils and boards that we sit on have some form of security present during the meetings. So it's not unusual to have that. I know in my Board of Supervisors meeting, we have a security person in attendance all the time. So it's not uncommon, and we will continue to have them here.
Okay, I just felt a little uncomfortable. I just thought I'd ask. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Vanessa Logan, please. And that'll be followed by our final speaker, was Archbishop King.
Good morning. My name is Vanessa Logan, and I'm a member of the Mothers Committee of Hunter's View. And I just would like to know why we have not had a public hearing, and when are you going to come to Hunter's View and see what's going on instead of hearing it from us? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our final speaker, Archbishop King.
Good morning. I was just thinking about a dream deferred and a raisin in the sun, you know? We were down here several months ago, and we were given the impression that there was some hearts that felt for the suffering of our community, and there were some promises made that the issue with Lennar and the poisoning of our community would be dealt with. And as others have spoke, I'm very disappointed and that there hasn't been really any real action taken to put some protection on this community. And the anger of the community is growing, and it might even see it exemplified in myself, that it seems that there's no one down here that really cares about the poisoning of our community. I'm just blown away. You get some oil on some ducks, and you have senators and everybody, but you can bury, you know, black, poor, and oppressed people in asbestos dust and other toxins, and it doesn't seem to be a concern of urgency. I don't know if that's the policy of this management district. I don't know if we need to give you all a definition about what management is. And it is Bay Area air quality management. Does that mean that you manage who you're going to be concerned about, or are you managing the concerns of the health of the community? It should be something that at this point should be very embarrassing for this committee, and that you haven't moved forward, and that you seem to be playing a weight game, and that maybe those that are concerned will all die off, and you can continue the same old rogue kind of activity that's going on. And I don't know how a company that comes all the way from the southeast part of this country gets more favor than people that are born and raised and work and make the contributions to make this city what it is? Or is it, I mean, do we have to be foreigners to get some kind of a true, real consideration about what's going on? Not the least bit of of communication to the community to encourage us to know, well, just hold your breath And we'll try to see what we can do. Just nothing, absolutely nothing. And it's really embarrassing and detrimental to the community. So I wish y'all would shake a leg and take care of some real business.
Thank you. Thank you, Archbishop King. This does conclude our speakers for this morning. What I'd like to do is ask Mr. Broadbent and Mr. Bunger to possibly, I see four issues really, cumulative pollution and what this board's policy has been, what the staff has been doing to deal with that issue through either the CARE program, then the issue of permitting at Chevron and the permitting at Hunter's Point for power plants there and how that is handled. And there are a number of new board members that may not be familiar with the history on some of these issues, but it would be, I think that's the other issue, is the permitting, if they're administrative and how it's handled or what the mm-hmm. procedure is for that. And then maybe a brief update from Mr. Bunger on the Lennar situation in terms of what the status is at this point in time. And if we could do that, I guess now my suggestion at first was to do it by memo for new members, but I think if you could just briefly do it, and if the board would like further information on it, we could have them prepare something in writing. And I see Mr. Daly had a comment. Director Daly?
Yeah, I was basically going to say the same thing, and I was planning on mentioning it under board members' comments, but since the public is here and probably will
and that was my thinking, our, since they're here, probably would be better to do it now. And
clearly an array of environmental justice issues were presented this morning, and two of them in the southeast part of San Francisco, the sighting of the combustible turbines and the follow-up on the notice of violation at the shipyard, the interview against Lennar, and then, of course, the Chevron permit issue as well. And I think that, I think some formal follow-up from the Lennar NOV, just because there was a very high-profile hearing here late last year, and while I understand that the legal process and the legal division on these NODs sometimes takes some time, I think that there is a real perception in the community that the process is not moving as quickly as it could. Whether that is true or not, I think that the perception is real, and I don't know if it would be appropriate, but I'd be willing to host in the Finance Committee a follow-up hearing. Perhaps we could have a closed session if we need to do that. The financial aspect of the item, of course, is that there could be a significant penalty or settlement in the case, and so I'd be willing, when asked for that, to be at the next Budget and Finance Committee meeting. On just the Air District staff, I know that there has been a concerted effort since Jack's been here to have a better relationship and a more structured relationship through the CARE program with the environmental justice community, and I don't want to get on the wrong track that we were on, 7 years ago or so with the EJ community. So I think it may be appropriate at the public outreach or somewhere like that to have a check-in on the CARE program and on the district's relationship to the environmental justice community. And more specifically, maybe it does make sense for us to talk about this cumulative impact resolution. I mean, reading it, I don't see why we shouldn't have this as policy at the Air District. I don't know the process to move forward, but I certainly would support the language that I read in front of me unless I hear some specific technical concern from staff.
Well, I think the staff can agree. Thank you very much. And without getting into board discussion on this, Director Twirley, I would have a comment, and then we will ask Mr. Broadbent and Mr. Bunger to respond.
And I think that the chair addressed a couple of the issues that were brought up during, is it not on? Can you hear me? During the public comment, but I wanted to make sure that we hit on a variety of them. It doesn't need to necessarily be responded to now, but in getting us information about, it was mentioned that the turbine decision didn't have a public process at San Leandro, didn't have a public hearing, Pacific Steel meeting. Obviously, Chevron has been brought up. And the concern that any increase in enrichment is a problem. I think that those combined probably all have their individual processes that we need to be updated upon. The hospitalization numbers that were discussed
I'm sure, have a broad range of reasons why people are being affected by asthma. And I think a portion of it is due to the impacts of the industry, but I think that there's a lot of issues regarding wood smoke. I think there's a lot of issues regarding indoor air quality and the conditions in which people are living. And I think that that's something that we do want to address as a whole, because that is what is going to improve the health and the well-being of the people that are living and being impacted by these asthma-related events. I'm glad to hear that our staff is working on the translation issue with forms and things of that nature. And I don't know if we have had any community meetings in Bayview, Hunter's Point, but we certainly, I think, need to continue to communicate with folks about where the CT locations are, how they are determined, what is actually happening, and what information we can provide and what information we can't provide, because I believe our staff has been working on this issue. The cap on cumulative pollution, which is what this resolution is dealing with, I think is an issue we need to deal with. And you need to focus also not just on the district, but on the local governments that are making these decisions, because we have to work in collaboration with them, because they actually have the land use authority. And it's not to pass the buck. It's the fact that we all need to work together on these things. And I hope that the tone to this district is not as accusatory, because I do believe that you have elected officials that are sitting here that are trying to be your advocates. And I want to have us work together on this. We need to work together.
And I think that's the goal, is to work together. Mr. Broadbent, would you like to just make a few comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Maybe it'd be easier if we just start with having Mr. Bunker give you a status of the Lennar work, if you don't mind. I'll get that one, and that one can get, and I'll talk to you about the other issues real briefly.
The perhaps, unfortunately, this will be a brief report. The Lennar NOVs are being processed. We are involved in discussions right now with the company over the issues that were raised in the NOVs.
Can you speak a little louder, Brian?
Sure. Is the microphone on? Yeah, I apologize. We are involved in discussions with the company over the NOVs that were issued. The district's penalty authority is civil penalty authority, and so it requires that either the parties reach agreement on the penalties or we take them to court. So it's not a situation where we simply issue a number and they have to pay it. And that's actually true of the city's penalty authority in these cases as well. And so, like all NOVs that we process here at the district, we're involved in that confidential process at this point. I would like to have been able to report that we're finished. Unfortunately, these sometimes take longer than any of us would like, including myself, but we are moving as expeditiously as we can, given that it's a two-party situation.
Thank you. Robin?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just quickly, you've heard concerns raised about the Chevron permitting at San Leandro. The CTs, Berkeley PSE was one that was brought up as well by the community interest. And of course, they've given you this set of resolutions. In hearing all of this, I would recommend what we do is we schedule for the executive committee this issue of cumulative risk. We were just searching for a potential date. We have some dates, Mr. Chairman, which I'll share with you, potentially April 3rd, which is when we could schedule it. I'm trying to look to see how I can schedule it amongst the other committee meetings. We have budget and finance and a bunch of other committees going on in those times. Quickly, however, on the Chevron permitting, that is still ongoing, and it will probably take several months before those permitting issues are resolved. And on the CTs, that is actually something the city is still working on. We have not issued a permit on the CT, so I want to be very factual here with the board. When and if the city decides to elect to cite those in the city here, we certainly have our own permitting procedure that will follow that process. I'll be glad to update the committee, maybe at that executive committee, where each of these items are. Maybe that would make most sense as we talk about those permitting activities. Also then talk about the cumulative risk set of resolutions that's been put before you. I will tell you, however, and it has been mentioned by a number of speakers, that we are moving ahead very aggressively in targeting our grant dollars. And we're not talking about a small number of dollars. We're talking about literally tens of millions of dollars targeted in six specific communities which we've identified, which is a very important step this organization has taken. We've said across this Bay Area, we're most concerned about the cumulative risk in these six communities, and that diesel particulate represents 80% of the risk, and that we think it makes most sense, since we don't believe we necessarily can regulate in this area, we think we're going to use our monies judiciously and be able to get these diesel particulate emissions removed from the air as expeditiously as possible. And so that work is ongoing. We had a good meeting yesterday of our CARE Task Force. I'll brief the committee on the 3rd of April on that work, Mr. Chairman, as well. Great.
Thank you, Mr. Broadbent. Director Brown, just assuming we won't get into a discussion here, if you have comments for Mr. Broadbent or for...
Did you make that assumption when you're talking about the people?
They were directing their comments to them. I just want to avoid... you can talk as long as you want. I just don't want to make it a discussion here.
I appreciate that. Jack, perception is reality. Frankly, I remember when these communities came before us 6-odd months ago. They were very respectful then, albeit with passion this time. This gentleman, who I listened very carefully to, on my inside, very respectful today. But if the feeling is that there's a lack of communication, they're not being heard, parenthetically, we could clear the room and maybe you could say, because there is two sides to every story, you know, we've met with these people 15 times. I don't know that to be the case. I don't know it not to be the case. But I would just ask that we go overboard in making ensuring lines of communication so that nobody ever says, and rightfully so perhaps, I don't know this. Look, tell us that you care, or tell us that you don't care, and we'll accept it. I mean, that's a powerful thing to say. Again, there's two sides to every story, and I'm not dissing staff at all, because I know staff cares deeply. But if I can just ask that we go overboard in making sure the lines of communication are open and always inviting these communities in, hey, drop by, come into our office, we'll talk about this more, so that nobody ever thinks, because that perception does become reality. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Brown. Director Bates.
Yeah, I just had a quick question for staff. On the cumulative impacts, can we actually regulate the cumulative impacts? In other words, reach a certain threshold? In other words, the concern, obviously, is when you allow permits, somebody just look at the permitting of that one entity. Do we actually have the handle to be able to say that this add to the cumulative impact is such that we can't permit?
Mr. Chairman, Director Bates, what the community is asking for is for us to step in terms of establishing a policy, establishing a regulation, really begin to take those steps towards, as we permit a new or modified stationary source in a particular impacted community, that we take into account all the other sources in that particular community. That is not something we do right now. That is we look at the facility itself. We seek to be able to permit or not permit based on the applicable regulations, but we don't necessarily look at all the surrounding other sources of emissions, because it's got a lot of policy implications. It's also wrought with a lot of technical difficulties as well, and it's not for the fact that the staff would not want to do that. Believe me, we very much are understand and are sensitive to this concern, but it's much more complex than I think most folks understand. But it does deserve us to explore this with you. I think we need to lay all this out for the board, and be more than happy to do that. And if the board wants us to start to move down this path, certainly the CARE program is an important first step. If you want to continue down that path, we'll certainly take that direction.
So my question was, do we have the statutory authority to regulate it? Can we do that?
I'll ask my attorney to answer that question to you.
That's nice. Put me on the spot.
No, I think
as a rule, what we have authority to deal with is what is somebody applies to do.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay.
And so, that answers the question, right? So you have a new source coming in. That's an application that's before us. There's not an application for the existing sources. And under the state law system, what you what you then have is some, you're essentially doing rulemaking for each of those other sources as retrofit or some sort of forced control, and that's why it's complicated on the legal side of it. I mean, we can go into more detail about the issues this raises when we get to a discussion of the entire topic, but there may be ways to address that.
But the answer is yes. We could if we went. But
it would be a new rulemaking in each case.
But we could establish a new rule, right? And we could do it.
It's
I just want to understand
possible.
It because I think it's a critical issue. I think we mm-hmm. need to figure out how to do it because the cumulative effects are the real impacts, and we can't just look at one thing in isolation without looking about what it's going to do to the whole community.
Mr. Chairman,
I think that's what the board's been doing for trying to look at for a long time, Tom. Thank
you. I'll just leave you with one last point, and that is, it's not like this district is lagging behind anyone. This is not done anywhere else because it is complicated, not only technically but legally. And it's not that we don't believe that there are impacted communities. We know and believe that. That's why we're targeting the monies. That's been an important policy that this board has taken recently.
Right.
And so, on the 3rd, Mr. Chairman, at least that's tentatively a date that we are
looking
at.
We'll begin that discussion then at that mm-hmm. point in time, and I know you have been working hard on the CARE program, and we've taken the cumulative pollution impact very seriously. And in the essence of being open, and I also, as the direction from the board, staff should always follow the rule of going that extra mile for communication and keeping those lines open so that we can guarantee that we have gone above and beyond to make sure that there's a good understanding between the district, staff, the board, and the community so that we can make the right and the best decisions. But in the interest of open discussion, we have one final speaker, if that's agreeable by the board. David Solberg, is it?
Daniel.
Sorry, Daniel. Solberg. And you'll have to tell me what St. Lutheran Church it is, but please, you have 3 minutes to speak if you'd like. And welcome.
Thank you. It's St. Paulus Lutheran Church.
Thank you.
There's been a clear cry from the folks in Bayview, Hunters Point, and there's been dramatic testimony and evidence given to the continuing deterioration of the kind of health the health mandate that particularly this body some months ago issued. I find it terribly much of a concern that once a body such as this makes a determination or makes at least some commentary about the ongoing violations of our dear beloved Lennard Corporation, that it ought to follow through on it, and the folks in the Bayview don't go away simply because this group doesn't continue its pursuit of the violator. Those people still continue to violate, and our folks continue to be damaged and polluted and poisoned. Death still happens, regardless of whether you act or not. And I would I would call it a real moral question here, as to whether this body will follow through with its word. And now, particularly in light of the coming. The coming possibilities that the polluter, that the rogue company will continue and will acquire more opportunity to violate our people. This becomes clearly an issue that those who are in positions of authority, such as this group, I would suppose anyway, has the right to make some determination about. You did at one point. And now it seems like there is some backpedaling, or at least some I guess that's put nicely. I would hope that it's not backpedaling. But there is clearly an opportunity here for this body to put its foot down and to assume the responsibility for protecting our people. And if that doesn't happen, there's an awful lot of question about whether this body really does maintain its own integrity, or whether it is a body that is simply drawn around by circumstances and by companies and by immoral kinds of opportunity. And I would seriously question whether this body has enough stamina, enough backbone to make that determination. I would really hope that it does. There are people who are suffering and dying and will continue to be harmed.
If you could wrap it up, I'd appreciate it.
It's fine.
Thank you, Reverend. Okay, that does conclude. It closes the public comment period. And what we will do is on the resolution that was submitted, if we could review that also
yes.
at the appropriate committee, the public outreach, to see if it's and staff can respond to the comments to see if it's if it is appropriate.
Probably executive committee, Mr.
The executive committee would be
yes.
fine. Thank you. Okay, we will move on from the public
Chair?
Comment period to the
sorry.
Consent calendar. I'm sorry,
Mr.
Yes,
Chair.
I'm sorry, Mr. Goldberg.
Indeed, I just wanted to ask that we would definitely hold a hearing on these matters where. A discussion. Other, this is just general public comment, right? So this has not been a discussion.
Right.
There's no fact finding here.
Right.
What we've had here is, I guess, some generalized public comments by my fellow directors, and not to get into turning this into a hearing today. It's on the edge there, of course. But let me ask that we please have a hearing before the full body here, in order to be able to be apprised of the facts. To the degree I know we're involved in a legal kind of litigation matter almost here. I don't know, but Mr. Bunger, you don't have to comment on that right now, but to know what the parameters are around which we can have a thorough, complete discussion of the issues brought here, because public comment is not the appropriate place to do it. There's no way that we should be continuing to use public comment this way. Let's agendize it.
Yeah,
let's do it before the full body.
I appreciate your comments, and we will work with the staff to see how that can be accomplished in the best and legal manner.
Absolutely.
For us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay, that does conclude the public comment period. Moving on to the consent calendar, items 1 through 5. We have a motion by Director
Mr.
Brown,
Chairman,
second by Director Wagenknecht.
I have a question on an item on consent. And it's
which item is that?
Number four.
Item number four. We'll pull item number four from the consent calendar.
Okay.
And we have 1, 2, 3, and 5. And we do have a motion and a second. Is that for 1, 2, 3, and 5? Is there any opposition to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carried without opposition. We'll move to item number four.
Okay. I just had some questions on
sure.
four. It's the Carl Moyer money that we're getting from the state. And the 14.4% that we're getting, is it good, bad? Is it what we've always gotten? I mean, are they giving us less?
Mr. Chairman, item number four deals with it's somewhat of just a procedural matter. We need to be able to accept the monies from the state. That's what this item deals with, Director Szymanski. And this annual amount, which is $11 million, basically is year 10 monies. And so this is a step you need to go through to just basically accept it as part of our budget.
So we have no say that we should get more, we should get less?
Well, and I think the chairman would want to probably speak to the 14% issue. That
yeah.
That's dealing, and Mr. Chairman, did you want to speak about that in your comments?
Sure,
I'll
be happy to do that.
So that issue is has to do with the infrastructure bond monies. It's a separate pot of monies that was discussed recently in front of the California Resources Board.
Uh-oh.
And since the chairman is our representative,
but this issue related to just the Carl Moyer program.
Correct. This is just our allocation,
which is 14%, which is similar to
that. Yeah, it just coincidentally happens to be the same number.
I mean, that's what we've always gotten, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And why is there $1.7 million matching? I mean, what's that got to do with it?
The state law for the Moyer program requires a local match, and that is the number. And it's not a one-to-one match, and it's not a two-to-one match. CARB has the authority to...
You're talking to the microphone a little more, Brian.
I'm sorry.
I apologize.
My voice is a little bit flat today. The way the statute is set up, in the original formulation, it was, I think it was two Moyer dollars for every dollar the district had to match, right? That's the local match obligation. But they have the ability to adjust that, and the adjusted number is the one you see in this
resolution. It's a number. It's not a percent or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it's actually calculated by a percentage, but we reduced it to a number when they send us the letter, the offer of money letter, or the please apply letter.
Those are my only questions.
Okay, number four. We have a motion from Director Brown. Oh, I'm sorry, Director Silver had a comment. Director Silver?
Question. I was just wondering, looking at the $558,000 plus change administrative fee, who sets that? Does the Air Board set that here, or is this set somewhere else?
It's a percentage of the monies that's set forth in the guidelines by the state.
Seems like a lot of money to administer a program. Thank you.
Actually, we overspend that quite a bit to administer the program.
Thank you, Director Silva. We do have a motion from Director Brown, second by Director Wagenknecht. Any opposition to the motion on item number four? Hearing none, the motion carried without opposition. We'll move now to item number six, a report of the Legislative Committee. Director Wagenknecht.
Report of the Legislative Committee. The committee met on Monday, February 25th, 2008. The committee discussed two measures in detail, NSB 375 offered by Daryl Steinberg and AB 2655 offered by our old friend Board, Mark DeSaulnier. The committee recommends a support in concept position on AB 2655, which would establish a comprehensive indoor air quality program in California. The legislative bill introduction deadline was Friday, February 22nd, 2008. The committee briefly reviewed a number of the other bills. You have them listed in your agenda. Additional air quality measures, but deferred action on them until future meetings that we needed to find out more about. The committee also discussed AB 2744 offered by Jared Huffman, which would allow a vote of the people on regional gas fee in the Bay Area, with the proceeds used for projects to cut climate change. The next meeting of the committee is scheduled for 9:30, Monday, March 24th, 2008. I move that the Board of Directors approve the recommendations that we have another meeting, I guess it's the recommendation for the Legislative Committee.
Okay, we have a motion from Director Wagenknecht. Is there a second? Director McGoldrick, any opposition to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is carried without opposition. Thank you for the report. Budget and Finance Committee, Director Daly.
Thank you, Chair Hilt. The committee met on Wednesday, February 27th, 2008. Committee received a report from Caparici and Larson on the Air District's financial audit for fiscal year 2006-2007. An unqualified audit report was issued. There were no findings or question costs in the internal control over financial reporting. Staff was provided direction from the committee. The committee received the second quarter financial report for fiscal year 07-08. Finally, the committee received a presentation from staff on proposed amendments to Regulation 3 fees, which included details on the proposed fee amendments and a new fee schedule that is intended to recover costs incurred by the Air District to implement the Climate Protection Program. Examples of permit renewal fee increases were also provided. The Climate Protection Committee will review the proposed new fee schedule at its March 13th meeting. Public hearings and Board of Director adoption consideration is set for April 16th and June 4th, 2008. Staff has provided direction from the committee to proceed with proposal. The next meeting of the committee is scheduled for 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, March 26, 2008. I move that the Board of Directors approve the report of the Budget and Finance Committee.
Thank you, Director Daly. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second by Director Torliat. Any opposition to the motion? Hearing none, the motion is carried without opposition. Thank you. Director Ross, the Public Outreach Committee.
I'll preface my report with a comment that I will help the chair and the board in any way work on the public outreach issues that were brought up today at public comment. This report is comprised of approximately 14% of the agenda. The committee met on Monday, March 3rd, 2008. The committee received an update on the 2008 Spare the Air campaign. As a follow-up to the February 14th, 2008 Public Outreach Committee meeting, staff was requested to explore options for continuing to provide a free transit incentive component to the 2008 Spare the Air campaign. As has been discussed, the Air District has been notified that funding for the 2008 campaign will be the final funding commitment through the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Program administered through the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. Staff's presentation included an overview of the history of the Spare the Air program, the link between air quality and climate protection, a summary of available funding for the 2008 campaign, and options for the upcoming season given the limited funding. After considerable discussion, the committee provided direction to staff. The committee recommends the Board of Directors' approval to provide, number one, free transit on the first two Spare the Air days to include free morning commutes on trains and ferries and full-day commutes on all other bus transit systems. Two, inclusion of other types of incentives and messaging beyond free transit to promote climate protection. And three, a survey analysis to assess the effectiveness of the program. And number four, estimated cost for the 2008 program is at $6.7 million. I move that the Board of Directors approve the report and recommendations of the Public Outreach Committee. I may add that there is possibility that staff was going to seek funding for a possible third Spare the Year Day.
That's the direction of the committee, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we do have a motion on the direction from the committee and a motion by and second by Director Wagenknecht. Is there any opposition to the motion? Thank you. The motion is carried without opposition. That does conclude our committee reports and recommendations. We'll now go into closed session. So if anyone who's not necessary for that, could please leave the room temporarily.
So your voice is flat today?
Thank you. Okay, very good. We're back on the record. Mr. Bunger, would you report out of closed session, please?
I shall. So the board met in closed session on items 9 and 10 on the agenda. On item 9, the tort claim of Peter Rogerson against the district, the board voted unanimously to reject that claim, and a notice of rejection will be sent to Mr. Rogerson as soon as possible. On item 10, the board heard a report on that item and provided direction to council.
Great, thank you very much. We'll move to item number 11, report of the executive officer. Mr. Broadbent.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. At a recent meeting, I believe it was our public outreach committee meeting, the board asked me to talk about where we are on our wood smoke incentives program. And I'll just mention real briefly that this is a program in which we've provided monies for natural gas inserts and other types of wood smoke devices that are clean. And if you recall, the board had initially set aside $100,000 under phase one, and most of that money has been now distributed, about 87% of it. Most of it's gone to for natural gas inserts. And we're working very closely with the Hearth Products and Barbecue Association. Phase two, which was the other $400,000, is actually right now being developed. The procedures, I should say, on how we're going to disperse those monies have been are being put together, and we're going to actually announce that about April 1st. anyway, so that monies will be started and administered starting that on that day. And I'll keep the board informed as to how that moves forward. We anticipate, however, those monies will likely be used to deal with the pent-up demand that happened under phase one, and likely most of those monies will also be spent for natural gas inserts. If you recall, the board narrowed the how those monies should be spent, it's a critical part of the overall wood smoke program. The rule itself, of which the Stationary Source Committee is going to be hearing about that on the 17th March. Get an update on that, but this is a part of that program as a whole, and so that is moving forward, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to mention that to the full board, since it was asked of me to just update everybody as part of my comments. We are moving forward on the Spare the Air. Very much appreciate the guidance and direction provided by the board today on the Spare the Air program. We will now move forward with MTC in developing that two-day program. And it'll very much be announced likely on the Earth Day, which is in April 22nd. So that concludes my remarks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brabant. Under the next item, which is the chairperson's report, I just wanted to report and go into the question of the Carl Moyer Fund. At last Thursday's Air Resources Board meeting, there was the allocation of the I-bond funds, the $250 million for the first year apportionment, and our allocation was set at about 14% during the first formula that was used, and that's based on population. They used a very similar formula that they used for Carl Moyer. and it was 14%, and that's based on population, health risk, and then our attainment status. And in that, we came in at about 14%. South Coast was 55, San Joaquin was at 25, and San Diego was whatever the difference, six or seven. And so that was the formula that was recommended. San Joaquin felt that they deserved a lot more than that, originally started at 37%, and then brought that down to about 29%, taking it from the Bay Area, and South Coast was what they were, the goal was. Staff would not felt strongly that the Bay Area should not lose any of that funding, mainly for the reason that, I mean, one of the reasons was that we will be dealing with this shortly, is the West Oakland and the Oakland, the Port of Oakland and the toxic, the air risk assessment that's being done. And I'm just amazed that it's not been completed, hasn't been completed, but it does show, and I think I've mentioned it, and they would not like me to say it publicly, but I've told some of you, it will show a 300 additional per million cancer deaths than should be because of the port and the toxins coming from that into West Oakland. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a tremendous effort to clean that up, and that's what our effort will be in the next year, and where we will put our resources, certainly from some
in
of the funds
that come
from the Port of Oakland in the West Oakland area. The health risk assessment for that port is that great and severe. So it will be a tremendous task. So the bottom line is, and Director Smith was there and spoke on our behalf. They had a very strong legislative delegation from the San Joaquin Valley that actually I think upset the board more than anything else, because it was too much of a full court press that was, you know, tried to be intimidating, and it just doesn't work, and it backfired. So the bottom line at the end of the day was that we kept the same allocation that was proposed by the staff. And there was an argument made by San Joaquin based on how that apportionment was done for attainment, that you could argue that they might have deserved more, but then you could also argue that we deserved more because of some of our issues too. So we settled with the 14. It worked, and that will be the allocation as it goes forward. And so it was good. So thank you again,
Jerry
Smith, for being
ground.
Here.
All right,
we held our ground on that. Yeah, we were going to give up on that one. It was a good one. So it was fun. We wanted more, but that concludes my report. And sorry that Director Smith had to stay there most of the day and listen to all of that stuff. But
very interesting.
But that concluded that. So that's the end of my report. Board member comments.
And just to, I watched it on the webcast. You both did very well, and Director Smith was very eloquent. And
you sat there for that length of time?
No, I was at my desk watching on the webcast.
Oh, well, I mean, that's what I meant on the webcast. Yeah. Director Daly.
Yeah,
thank you.
I just want to make sure that on an agenda maybe within the next month we do
on an agenda in the next month that we do have an item on a follow-up on the shipyard NOV with possibly a closed session so Mr. Bunger can talk to us confidentially about where the negotiations are specifically.
We'll work on that.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. Further comments?
Yeah.
Hearing none, the next meeting will be Wednesday at 9:45, March 19th, at the same location. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.